Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Truth. Let's bounce back just a little bit in time, if you will. Good Friday. The interaction between Jesus and Pilate. Do you remember that? Pilate asked Jesus about the truth. Veritas. What is the truth? Truth is written all over Scripture. And truth is definitely evident in our lessons for today in the risen and living Savior. In fact, Jesus not only was answering truth with his life on that Good Friday, but now, past this Good Friday, just past Easter, we see the whole thing about truth. We see it in the wonderful writings in our epistle lesson for today. As in 1 Peter, we talk about this wonderful joy that Jesus has given us, this wonderful life that will not perish or change. That is the truth. We can count on that because God is faithful. We see it as Thomas interacts with the disciples today. We see it as the disciples were together. They saw Jesus. They tell Thomas. Thomas says, well, I don't believe that. That's not true. I'm not going to believe this truth unless I see it with my own eyes. Put my finger in his nail marks and my hand in his side. I will not believe the truth. Then the truth says a week later, 8 days later, hey, guys, I'm here. Peace be with you. As Jesus enters into that room with the disciples in his risen and living presence, and Thomas gets to do exactly what he says with his finger in his hands. He touches Jesus. He sees Jesus. And he knows the truth that Jesus is alive, risen from the dead. It's evident in our lesson in Acts for today as this Pharisee, Gamaliel, he says, you know, leave these guys alone. Don't kill them. Because the truth is that if their plan is for man, it won't succeed. But if it's from God, it will succeed. And you cannot stop it. What is all this truth pointing us to in this resurrected Lord? First, the truth is that because Jesus has risen from the dead, every promise that God has made to you and to me is not only fulfilled, but it's true. Every promise that God gives to us is fulfilled and will be fulfilled because Jesus is alive and God is faithful. The promise of a Savior who has come into this world to die for us, to forgive us, to walk with us, to be our present and our help and our hope in every struggle, trial, and tribulation, to be our very presence, our rock, our refuge, our fortress, our good shepherd, to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, in highs and in lows in life, that Jesus is with us. And because he's alive, we will live. Because he has victory over sin, death, and the devil, we have victory over sin, death, and the devil. Because eternity is his, we have eternity. Because he has claimed you to be his child in baptism and has given you the inheritance of the promised kingdom of heaven, you will live forever with that inheritance, which is yours now and not yet, will come the day we wake up from the grave to be with Jesus forever. The second this truth confronts us, and it tells us this, that God's will be done. His will is so perfect and so pure. His will is simply this, that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. That's exactly what Gamaliel was talking about in the Acts lesson in essence for today. Listen, if this plan is from God, you cannot stop it. And look what happened with that truth. Those 12 disciples, those 12 men, from their work, look at the movement of Christianity in our world today. It cannot be stopped. Viruses may threaten it, wars may threaten it, laws may threaten it, governments may threaten it, but it cannot be stopped because our rights aren't given to us by the government. It's given to us by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may worship him wherever we are, with anybody we're with, because where two or three are gathered, there he is with us. And in that worshiping, we are fed and nourished with this truth, the love and forgiveness and eternity with God, so that we can have the power of this risen Jesus to enter into any room we are in and say to who is ever there, those who are suffering, those who have mental illness, those who are dying, those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are in financial times, and those who don't believe, peace be with you. Jesus is here. And in so doing, we are his disciples, equipped with the hands and the mouth and the feet and the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus, our Savior, the very same gifts he gives to us, to go out intentionally into our world to share Jesus. The truth is, the church grows, the kingdom of God increases, and the kingdom of hell decreases as we interact in the hearts and lives of every person God places into our path by being that presence in the middle of the room who says, peace be with you. You see, this plan is of God. That's the truth. This will is of God. That's the truth. And it cannot, we cannot, the gospel cannot be stopped because Jesus already has victory. And the truth is, there are going to be times we're going to be like Thomas in our world too. There are going to be times where we have a hard time believing Jesus. If anybody ever tells you they've never doubted in their faith, they're probably lying to you. Because everybody has at one point or another questioned it or doubted or had a moment of weakness. We all do that, including pastors. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect. Let me not speak for the rest of them, but I'm not perfect. In fact, I remember very clearly, kind of almost like Gamaliel's argument. After our son Jonah died, I was really having a hard time, and one night in bed, I was distraught, and I could not sleep. I hadn't slept for several nights, and I looked to my wife, Stephanie, and I said to her, and my wife's brilliant, you know, and I said to her, what if this is all isn't true? What if I've wasted these years in studying, and it's just not true? And then she said to me, well, if it isn't true, so what? What have you lost? But if it is, look at what you've gained. Look at what you gained. And those words, well, they helped me to see the truth. Look at what we have gained. Everything. And so the truth is this. Faith isn't always going to be strong. Faith will waver. There will be hard times. And that's okay. Faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. Jesus says, be like children. Children waver. They do. We waver. Our salvation is not dependent upon how strong or weak our faith is. Please hear this. The truth is, our salvation is dependent upon the faith that God has in us. So much faith that he died on the cross and rose from the dead and conquered sin, death, and the devil for you. That is God's faith in us. And he gives us that faith through the power of holy baptism. It's not dependent upon us. It's totally dependent upon God. And that's what we can cling to, even in moments of weakness, even in moments of fear and trial and tribulation like we're going through these days. We can cling to the truth that it's about God in us, God loving us, God's faith in us, his work for us. And we have salvation. Rest in that. Don't listen to the rest of the world that will tell you, you gotta have strong faith. Your strength of your faith is proportioned upon the blessings that you will receive and how good your life will be, because that's hogwash, that's lying, and that's from Satan. The truth is, it's all about God in you. And he has faith in you. He has faith in you because he died for you, he rose for you, and has given you the power of his Holy Spirit to trust and believe in him. The living truth. The living word, Jesus Christ. Be at peace and have joy. For the day is coming when we will see Jesus face to face. And what we have not seen, we will see with beauty and with glory. The Lord Jesus, as he says, peace be with you. In his name, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.